You're listening to the Jesus Culture Sacramento Message of the Week. We hope you enjoy this teaching. For more information on our church, visit jcsacramento.com. If you have your Bibles, open up to Luke. We are going to be in Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Then tell her to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." So today we're talking about the value that Jesus places on intimacy. We're talking about the fact that Jesus is in fact intimate. God is an intimate God. And to be completely honest, this one really hits home for me because I was not raised in a home that really cultivated intimacy. I was raised in a pretty, you would say, a works-based home, like performance-driven. We were just hard workers in my house. My parents, kind of, you know, you were applauded for what you produced. My stepdad was a really hard worker and just kind of from that generation of that's how you show love. You work for your family. My mom was a single mom for a long time. She held multiple jobs to support the family. So it was just like, what are you doing? What are you doing to help? And you are going to be rewarded, applauded, and honestly, probably even shown more love and affection the harder that you work in this home. So I quickly learned that that is the way to people's hearts, to work. So, you know, in school, I was that overachiever kid who like killed myself for good grades. I did not want to fail in school. I wanted straight A's. Because of that, I get a scholarship and, you know, I'm wrapping my identity on what am I doing and how much am I achieving? Because, you know, I really wanted to make my parents proud. And we kind of grew up with this belief that the better you did, the better you behaved, the more you produced, the more you will be loved. So you take that lens that, you know, of your family, and that's the lens that you view God with. So, you know, when I first started following the Lord, I was absolutely convinced that I had some work to do to get that love, that I needed to now behave and position myself right and make sure I'm doing all the things so that God loves me. And that is, you know, the anti-intimacy message. And so this concept of, you know, Mary being at his feet and Martha working and Mary choosing to be with Jesus. Like when I read the story, I'm like team Martha, like get up, Mary, do something. It is the Marthas of the world like me who are making things go around. Mary is lazy and doesn't know she doesn't know what to do. I totally relate to Martha in this story because it's just how I grew up. But the journey of encountering Jesus as intimate was absolutely, absolutely life-changing for me. Like things shifted in my life dramatically when I realized, wait a second, there's an invitation to intimacy that doesn't require me to do anything. There's an invitation to be at his feet that doesn't require anything of me. I don't have to work for this. I don't have to perform for this. I'm loved. I'm accepted. The most important, the good portion for me is at his feet. Jesus is intimate. He values intimacy. And this is hard for us because in today's culture, we are not valuing intimacy, right? Like we are in a performance-driven culture. How much money can you make? How far to the top can you get? Like I know my youth lingo, right? It's started from the bottom, now we're here. Like we applaud people. What? You started from nothing and now you're here? Like good for you. And how'd you do it? On your own. Why? Because you work hard. And what does that mean? You are good. Like this is what we do. We value hard work and applaud people for how much they can achieve and produce, right? We even ask kids, one of the most popular question you ask a child is, what do you want to do when you grow up? Because we identify what we do with who we are. We pull our identity from what we do. And so we think I'll get a good measure and a good read on who you are as a person if I know what you do, because we've kind of married our actions and our identity. And this is the society that we live in. You know, this is what culture is telling us. Like, you want to produce. We have like personal stats now, right? Like public stats on display on your profile. There's your picture. It's your best picture because you better look good for what everybody's going to judge you on, right? It's like all filtered and the right angle so there's no double chin and your lips are sucked in and it's like you look like Like your profile, have you ever seen somebody's profile picture and you see them in real life and you're like, is that you? There's no real life filter. So it's like your profile picture, so you look good, and then how many followers you have is, you know, that must be how much you're liked or how popular you are, and then there's the hearts on all the, you know, and the thumbs up and the in the comments on what you're saying. Like our culture is screaming this anti-intimacy message. And we're living in a pretty guarded culture too. Like personal contact is going away. We are posting everything, our deepest opinions, secrets, you know, fears. Like when you have a bad day, instead of telling a friend, you're telling all your online friends. And you're sometimes I read that stuff, I'm like, you need a friend. Like you just need a friend to talk to. But personal contact is going away more and more. Students today, like these youth, they are having their most confrontational conversations over social media and over text message. It's unbelievable. They're breaking up with each other over text message. Now listen, I'm 30. When I had to break up with Derek in high school, which I did several times, I could not text him. I had to walk up to him and look at those beautiful blue eyes and watch them well up with tears as I ripped his heart out of his chest and declared, Derek, we're over. Like, I had to tell him to his face. I couldn't do it over a text message, or I sent a friend and she did it to his face. The multiple times that I crushed him. Thank God he won my heart back, and here we are. But you know what I'm saying? Like, personal contact is going away. They're just like sending emojis now or all this shorthand, so they don't really have to have that intimate conversation. They don't really have to work things out. And so we're kind of being swept up in this culture that doesn't value intimacy the way that God does. But Jesus valued intimacy a lot. He doesn't correct Mary, right? She's at his feet. He doesn't say, you're right, Martha. Mary, get up and help your sister, right? He says, hold on. You, Martha, you're anxious, you're distracted, you're worrying, but Mary has chosen what is necessary, the most important thing. She's at my feet because God is an intimate God. He is not distant. He's not far off. There's this, you know, image that we have of God that like he's up there and we're down here, but he crashed the divide, right? There was a divide between us and he said, I'm not okay with that. You're my children. I need to be close to you. I want a relationship with you. So he sends Jesus and he reconciles us. He's after our hearts. He is wanting relationship with us. This intimacy that we're invited to is, God is very intimate. And Jesus modeled this. We see him model it with his disciples. We see such a beautiful relationship between him and the disciples. I mean, when he was overwhelmed, when he needed them, he didn't run and hide and go figure it out on his own and then come back to them so that, you know, they didn't see his weakness. He said, I need you guys. Will you, in the garden, will you stay up? Will you pray with me? I need you. Or washing their feet. That is such an intimate act that he did for them. And in John, it says the disciple he loved reclined on his chest. Like when we see Jesus's relationship with the disciples, it's very close. It's very intimate. It's very connected. And his relationship with God the Father, completely intimate. What does he do? You know, Jesus was busy. His public ministry life, there were crowds. There were people to respond to. There was a demand on his life. And he consistently modeled pulling away from work, pulling away from the busy, pulling away and getting alone with the Father and having an intimate relationship and going to, you know, the mountainside to pray. And it always says Jesus, you know, he rose early in the morning to pray. He's pulling away because he knew this is the most important. This is the good portion. This is the best thing for me. I'm going to get with God. I'm going to have an intimate relationship. And he leaned into that, right? Pulling away from the busyness and the work. But when we don't understand intimacy, we either don't understand it or we don't value it enough. We find ourselves not pulling away. And we find ourselves spending time where it doesn't matter. And we get the priorities mixed up and we're no longer pulling away from the demands of life and the busyness and our schedules and whatever else it is. And we're not spending time where it matters most. And Jesus says, it's at my feet. He said, it's necessary. Mary has chosen what is necessary. It's not just a good idea to be at his feet in intimacy. It is necessary. There is something that you need that you're only going to get in the place of intimacy and at the feet of Jesus. Yeah. He says it's necessary. It's the most important. It's the good portion. And this is the invitation that we have in front of us, right? The enemy of intimacy, an enemy of intimacy is performance. And performance manifests itself sometimes often as busyness, right? Like we fill our lives up and we just live in a busy world too. Like, you know, I even included, like, I got Hulu on one iPad, Netflix on my computer, I'm cooking dinner, I'm, you know, feeding the baby with my foot over here. Like, I've got multiple things going. There's just a lot to do in a day. There's a lot going on and we're busy people. And sometimes it can kind of, that busyness, it's distracting us. He says, Martha, you're distracted. It's distracting us from the very invitation that Jesus has to just come at his feet, be intimate with him. And intimacy requires us to stop in this busy world, to close the apps, shut down the distractions, pull away from people, pull away from the demands of work and life. But sometimes I think we're uncomfortable when that happens, right? Because we use all the stuff in our life to pull significance from. We're getting value from how busy we are. We are, you know, we're feeling important. And when the silence comes, we're a little bit uncomfortable. I think it's because we're not convinced that in that place, we're gonna be met with unconditional love. We're a little bit nervous to approach that place because what's gonna meet me there when everything quiets down and I stop? What am I gonna find? Is God gonna be angry and disappointed with me? Is he gonna measure me up? Is there, you know, what's there for me? And the word says what's there for us is unconditional love, relentless love. What's there for us is security and our place as sons and daughters. That is what's waiting for us. That's why we got to get a hold of this thing and say, that's what's important. That's where I want to spend my time. That's where I want to find myself. I want the good portion. I want the most important, right? But like Martha, I think sometimes we get so obsessed with the house. And so Jesus walks in and he's there. And, you know, Mary sits at his feet and Martha's like, okay, put the flatbread in the oven because they were eating flatbread, right? And I'm going to go over here and I'm going to clean this up and sweep this floor. And Jesus is there and we're like, yep, just one second, Jesus. I'm going to be right there. I want to make sure that you don't ever see that thing because shove that far in there and nobody ever needs to see that. Like Jesus doesn't see that. And, you know, and Jesus is saying, come on over here. And you're like, one second. Yep, I'll be right there. I'm going to slow down in just a minute as soon as I do this. You know what? There's always going to be another thing that we need to do. Like, I know this because this is me, man. I have a hard time stopping. There's always going to be another thing. And we're going, it's for you, Jesus. All for you, bud, because I love you, man. I love you, Jesus. I love you so much that I'm not going to spend time with you. I'm going to clean all this up around me because I love you so much. Listen, Jesus isn't really concerned with your messy house. Jesus wants one thing. He wants your heart and he wants you at his feet. He doesn't care about you preparing meals for him and sweeping the floor and making sure it all looks good. He sees the mess. He's saying, listen, there's one thing that's important. There's a priority here. This is at my feet. Come on over here. This is hard for us to grasp. And when Derek and I sit down to watch a movie, right? This is probably, I'm like so guilty of this. And I'm a little bit OCD, I'll say it, I'll admit it. And like, so maybe let's say the blanket, we have a basket of blankets. And if it's, my kids just shove, and Derek, they just shove the blankets in the basket. The blankets are to be folded. The basket is a decoration. Not only does it hold the blanket, it's utility. Yes, amen. Fold, what are we, heathens? So we sit down and I clean up, you know, and then we sit down and watch a movie and I notice, oh, the blankets. And all of a sudden it's like, I have to sneeze, like a sneeze that won't come out. Like I have to fold the blankets before I can watch this movie. So I gotta get kind of antsy and Derek's like, what's the matter? You have to pee? I'm like, no, I'm totally enjoying this. I'm totally relaxing as I like become rigid thinking about now the mess. And he's like, you wanna fix those blankets, don't you? No, not at all, babe. I'm not even what blankets. I'm only thinking about you right now and our date night. And I don't even see what the two blankets that aren't folded that I asked you to fold earlier that you didn't fold and you just threw in. What blankets? No, I don't know what you're talking about. And I can miss our moment of connection and intimacy because I am worried about fixing the blankets. Like it's hard for me to stop. But you know what? I'll get up, I'll fix the blankets. And then, oh, that also needs to be swept up. And oh, while I'm up and while I'm here, you know, I'm gonna go ahead and fix this thing over here. And this is how life works, right? We want to fix one thing and then just another and then another and then another. And then all of a sudden we're so busy. We have scheduled ourselves completely out of time in the presence and at his feet. And now we're frustrated at all the Marys in our life who are enjoying it. And we're like, get up, you lazy bums. Like, I'm over here doing something. And we judge those people who make it a priority. And we think we're better because we're doing more. Or our schedules are busier, or whatever it looks like, right? And culture is not helping this. Like, seriously, there is a current of culture that is saying the opposite. Like, this is not what you're hearing on the mainstream narrative of society, right? Like, rest, relax, do less, be with God, right? They are going in opposite direction, and we are finding Jesus invite us into intimacy. Not that long ago, Derek and I were at a party or something, and we drove two separate cars for whatever reason, and we weren't sure where we were. So the time had come to go home. We get in the car, and he says, follow me. Now, my first mistake was to say, okay, because my husband's not that great with directions. So he says, follow me. I say, okay, I'll follow you. But I get in my car, and I put the address into home because I know this guy, and he's gotten me lost before. So we start driving, and I'm assuming he has his GPS pointed home, and I have mine pointed home. And all of a sudden, he starts just going weird ways. He's driving kind of crazy, like random turns, and my GPS, it keeps saying, rerouting, rerouting. You know, it says when you've taken the wrong turn. And I'm like, man. So I like reset it a couple times. I'm like, I really trusted him. I'm like, where is he going? Like, maybe he knows a shorter way home. But then the time is now going like longer, like 40 minutes from home. You're 45 minutes from home. I'm like, we are not going the direction of home. Like, what is going on? And so finally, I'm like, something weird is happening. I think, I don't know. So I kind of honk the horn and I wave my hand out the window, signal him to pull over. He pulls over. I pull up next to him. I roll down the window. I say, hey, what address did you put into GPS, or what GPS are you using? Maybe we're using different apps. He's like, GPS? I'm not using GPS. I'm guessing how to go home. But listen, I'm following someone who doesn't know where he's going, and this is what's happening in society. We're following a culture that doesn't know where they're going. They don't have the same GPS. They don't have GPS. And if they do, they've got a different destination. And we're following them going, well, I don't know why my life's falling apart and why priorities are all mixed up and why I feel this way and that way. Don't follow Derek. We're following a culture that doesn't know where it's going. And so this is where we have to stop and say, I'm gonna pull away. I'm not gonna you know, cave into the temptation to do what society says I should do and fill my life up and become busy, busy, busy. I'm going to prioritize intimacy and slowing down. I'm going to prioritize rest, the good portion, the most important. What is necessary is to be at his feet. And this is why we have to know the word, right? Because this is our GPS, not this iPad. The word is our GPS. And I do just want to be clear here. The enemy, I said the enemy of intimacy is performance, not serving. Like, work is good, serving is good. So nobody go to, like, if you're signed up with Game Changers, don't be like, sorry, Brian and Lindsay. Becky said, I'm being too much of a Martha. I'm going to, you know, knock down my serving. No, still serve. You still want to serve and work. Like, that is good. He doesn't reprimand Martha. He's not, you know, he's saying, hey, you're just distracted. You just got your priorities wrong. It's when we prioritize work and serving and performing over intimacy. And now we're doing these things because we're convinced that it's going to mean we get more love. We're doing these things for significance. We're doing these things to get something that we should be getting at his feet. So it's when those priorities are mixed up, that's when we're in trouble. Because we want to, right? We want to work and serve and do all those things from a place of acceptance. Because above everything else, before you're an employee, a friend, a sister, a wife, a mother, a father, before any of that, you are a son and daughter. This is who you are, right? And so there is nothing that separates you from the love of God. Like, there's nothing my daughter can do to earn more of my love. Lucy is amazing, and she does things all the time that make me proud and that make me happy. And so when she does something, you know, cleans up her toys, yeah, right. But if she were one day to clean up her toys, I would say, wow, I thank you so much. I love you so much. That makes mommy so happy. What I'm not going to do is go to Derek and say, well, good thing she did that, because I didn't love her. I didn't love her that much. Now I love her more. Like, let's keep her. You know, like, that is not the dynamic in the home, right? And And man, you know, I would be heartbroken if I saw my daughter working so hard and stressing out and doing things around the house and said, Mommy, I hope you love me now. Oh, right? I hope you love me now, Mom. Look, I cleaned it all up. I hope you love me. I hope you'll take care of me. I hope you'll feed me now. Right? That sounds awful, but so many of us approach God this way. I hope you'll meet my needs now, God, because I did the right thing. And we're not convinced that God doesn't require any of that. He wants to take care of our needs. He wants to feed us and clothe us and bless us and be there for us because we are sons and daughters, and fathers take care of their children, and fathers want to be near their children. And you can't earn more love. You cannot earn more of God's love. We have it all. Like, we have it all. So we want to work from that place, right? Like, that's where I serve from. That's where I work from the place of knowing I am a daughter. And all the things that I'm filling my life with don't mean that I'm now more loved. And I work from that place of rest. That's how we get there. And so we have to, you know, shift those focuses and that value system. And we have to value what he values. God values intimacy. He values his presence and stopping in a fast and busy world and the pace of life stopping. He has a high value on this. It is not less important. And the temptation right now is to think like, you know, when you slow down, you're less important. We just busy, busy, busy. And he's saying, no. This is the most important. Whatever is most important, that's what I want for my life. I don't want to settle for less important. I don't want to say I spent my life on all the things that were a little less important to God. I want to say I spent my time, I spent my energy on the most important, on what was necessary, and on the good portion. I want the good portion for my life. What is the good portion? It's intimacy. It's at his feet. It's in his presence. This is what I want. This is what I want to know that I spent my life doing. And intimacy is a choice, right? It doesn't just come. It doesn't just happen. We have to make room for it. He says, Mary has chosen the good portion. Martha, you're distracted. Mary has chosen the good portion. So will you choose it? Will we choose intimacy? Because we could turn to a lot of different things for significance and value and approval. And we do, right? Drinking, sin, relationships, money, social status, whatever. But we can choose intimacy and find all those things. And really the only true satisfaction and the only approval that is going to remain and last will be at his feet. Intimacy is a choice and it's a great privilege. The last thing Jesus says is, this is in the Passion Translation, she is undistracted and I won't take this privilege from her. It's a privilege that we get to enter into intimacy with our Creator. We get so busy working for something that we already have that we miss the privilege, the amazing privilege that it is to be intimate with the Father. And this is why we need our priorities right. It's intimacy over performance. It's rest over busyness. It's peace. I'll say it publicly because there's no denying it. I'm a neat freak. Okay. In the dictionary, under the definition of neat freak OCD mom is a picture of Becky Johnson. And I'm there. I mean, I just love it. Like, I love organization. I don't know how many of you, there is a group of you, like, I'm obsessed with school supplies because it's like office supplies. So I'll just like go down the aisle at Target and like, Staples. I love the smell of clean paper and binders and anything that can organize something, anything that can make chaos nice. I just like to, look at it. Like, they have those videos. It's like, these videos will make the neat freak in you like happy. And it's like perfectly lined shelves or a perfectly round pancake. Like, this is how God created me. Okay. If you're a neat freak, raise your hand. Come on. Raise your spouse's hand for them if they're not admitting it. That few of you, you guys are closet neat freaks. So, the cure for neat freak people is children, right? Children are not neat freaks. I don't know why. I'm working hard with my daughter to disciple her and train her in the way she should go. But for whatever reason, she's not there. So, you know, she has this little dollhouse and it's got all these little pieces. It's like a calico critter's house and it's this little toy. And the person who made these little tiny forks and the little tiny lemons and drinks also hated me. They were thinking I'm going to ruin Becky's life and send these tiny little toys to her house that can get lost. And so anyway, when Lucy and I sit down to play at the Calico Critter house, I get to work to make the house look amazing because that's just what I do. So I love the little dishes in the kitchen and I load up there's a little bathtub and The bedroom set goes, all the matching furniture. And my daughter, I look over, I'm like, Lucy, isn't this so much fun making it look as realistic and neat as possible? She's like, no, Mom, this is not fun. And she comes in with her wild imagination and she's like bringing in toys that don't even belong. And she's like, won't it be funny if we put the bathtub where the bedroom goes? And she's like bringing in, like trying to shove. I'm like, that furniture doesn't go. That doesn't go in there, Lucy. And I'm trying to organize it away. And when she looks away, I'll put it back. And she looks back and I'm like, Lucy, your calico critters are living in chaos. We cannot have a dollhouse that is ridiculous. This house is not a house of fun. And honestly, this has happened several times. I'm so obsessed over the little house and everything being in the right place that she'll leave. She's like, bye, Mom. I'm going to go play with Dad. And I'm over there. I didn't want to play with you anyway. Go with your ridiculous circus home. You know. But what I realize is, oh, man, I've just missed a moment of connection. My priorities are off. I'm prioritizing neatness and organization over time with my daughter. Like, I've got the wrong priorities. And this is what happens, right? We miss moments of connection and intimacy. And it's simply because I value it, right? Like, I want connection and intimacy with my daughter. But I need to keep my priorities right, where that trumps all other things. That's more important than the calico house. Okay. I'll lay that aside. Intimacy and connection with Jesus. It's more important than the busy schedule, more important than the demands at our work, more important than how we, you know, our social status. It's more important than the money I'm making. It's more important than all other things because Jesus says, this is the most important. This is the most important thing. This is necessary, guys. This is the good portion. And the invitation he extends to us to enter into intimacy and be at his feet. You guys stand up. We have to value what he values. Again, in the midst of a society that is not helping us, there is competing viewpoints in the world today. And so we get our GPS and we type in, okay, destination, kingdom, intimacy with the Father, connection with Jesus. And that's where I'm going. That's where I'm pointing my life. So I just want to take a moment today and just come before the Lord and honestly invite him to search our hearts and say, where in my life have I become distracted? Where in my life have I, if I've gotten my priorities mixed up, let's just be honest with ourselves. If there's anywhere where we've prioritized other things in over intimacy, other people, relationships, ourselves, material things, whatever it is, people's opinions, I've put something above intimacy. I've let the busyness of life overshadow the most important. And so just take a moment. Holy Spirit, we invite you to light up any area where we're not living with our priorities right, where we're not leaning into intimacy, where we've let other things crowd it and come in. Lord, would you give us the grace to quiet down the distractions in our lives and to just stop, that we would be brave and courageous enough to go against the grain of culture and say, I'm going to be someone who chases intimacy. I'm going to be known by the community around me. I'm going to be known by my Father.
Thanks for listening to the message of the week. Hungry for more? Search Jesus Culture on your podcast platforms to check out more from our Jesus Culture podcast network.